Hare Krishna. So this is most ecstatic, wonderful day for all of us. The Vyas Puja, I'm not sure, anybody know how many years? Anyway, this is the wonderful Vyas Puja festival of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Who was the one who sent our Prabhupada to save us. We're only here because of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So this is a very, very wonderful day for all of us. Somehow, so I am totally unqualified, I have no good qualities. I was born in a Mlecha family and have all bad qualities. Somehow the Vaishnavas asked me to speak something about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I don't know. It's appropriate that such a person speak about such an exalted personality, but anyway, I've been requested. Hare Krishna. Maam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatari Satarine Maam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Iti Namine Sri Barsabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Nama Madhuru Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Sri Rupanuga Virudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mancha kalpadrubhyascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah. So, although I'm not qualified at all to speak about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, I found a very beautiful poem written by Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj that's just so sweet. So we'll recite that in glorification of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Sujana Vyuda Radita Pada Yugam Yugadharma Dhanuradhara Patravaram Pradabhaya Dayaka Pujapadam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Bhajan Orjita Sajjana Sangapatim Patitadika Karunikaika Katim Kativanti Ravanchak Chintya Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Atikomala Kanchana Dirgatanum Tanunindita Hema Mrinala Madam Madanarvuda Vandita Chandra Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Ijaseva Katarika Ranjividum Virutayetahu Krita Simhabaram Varanagata Balisa Sandapadam Pranamami Sada Prabhupadapanam Vipulikrita Vaibhava Gaurabhuvam Bhuvaneshu Vikirtita Gauradayam Dayaniya Ganarpita Gaurapadam Pranamami Sada Prabhupadapadam Chira Gaura Janasraya Vishwagurum Guru Gaura Kishora Kadasya Param Paramadrita Bhakti Vinoda Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Raghu Rupa Sanatana Kirti Dhanam Dharani Tala Kirti Tajiva Kavim Kaviraja Narottama Sakya Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Kripaya Hari Kirtana Murti Dharam Dharani Barahāraka Gaurajanam Janakādika Vatsala Snigda Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Saranagata Kinkara Kalpatharum Tarudikrita Dira Vadanya Param Bharatendra Ganarchita Divya Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Paramhamsa Param Paramartha Patim Patito Dharane Krita Vesha Yatim Yati Raja Ganai Parisevya Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam Vishabhanu Suto Daita Nucharam Charanasrita Renu Darastamaham Mahadarbhuta Pavana Sakti Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam. Your beautiful lotus feet are cherished by millions and millions of the purest devotees, and you are the most competent personality to preach the recognized process for this era. Your sacred lotus feet are adorable as they openly grant fearlessness. I eternally offer my respects to Prabhupada's lotus feet. You are the monarch of high-class devotees, and you are the ultimate aim of truly fallen due to your extreme compassion. Your inconceivable lotus feet bestow full shelter for the cheaters and the cheated. Your towering, radiant, golden form is so graceful and delicate. Your overwhelming, beautiful appearance mocks the pride of golden lotus whorls, as countless cupids offer respects to your lotus toes, glowing like the radiant moon. Like the charming moon among the stars, you are surrounded by your disciples, fulfilling their hearts' desires. Your lion-like roar makes the envious quickly flee, while your soft lotus feet bestow the ultimate benefit to the innocent. You have widely spread the glories of Sri Gauranga's holy abode, Sri Mayapur Dham, and you have openly declared the nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy throughout the universe. You have planted the lotus of Gauranga's holy feet in the hearts of your servitors. As the universal holy master, you are the eternal refuge for Mahaprabhu's devotees. You are always dedicated to serving your holy master, Srila Gaura Kishore, and you are a careful servant of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lotus feet. Your glories allow you within the intimate group of Raghunath Das, Sanatan, and Rupa Goswamis. Your philosophical conceptions have seated you along with esteemed Jiva Goswami, and you share friendly relations with Krishnadas Kaviraj and Narottam Das. You mercifully appear as the embodiment of Hari Kirtan, thus eliminating the fences which burden the earth. Your loving disposition to the followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is more affectionate than even a father. You are the transcendental desire tree for the Lord's unalloyed servants. Your firm and patient nature insults the tolerance of a tree, what to speak of your benevolence? Your divine lotus feet attracts the worship of great demigods like Durgadevi and Indra. Being the storehouse of life's highest wealth, pure Krishna prema, you surpass all other Paramahamsa devotees. Simply to rescue the fallen souls, you accepted the dress of a renunciate. However, hence, your divine lotus feet are always adorable by the greatest of sannyasis. Since you are an exclusive servitor of Brisabhanu Nandini, Srimati, my bold aspirations is to take full shelter as an atomic particle of that shining dust that clings to your beautiful lotus feet. Your wonderful Shakti can deliver the whole world. I truly offer my respects unto that charming effulgence that shines forth from the radiant lotus toe tips of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada ki! So now we've heard from great swan-like devotee, now you have to listen to a crow. So on this fifth day of the dark half of the month of Falgun, the very month that our Sriman Mahaprabhu deigned to take his appearance, on that fifth day of the dark half, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati advented in this world. And we just heard in the wonderful lecture given by my dear god brother, why is my mind gone blank? Mukundadatta Prabhu, sorry. How at the time Bhakti Vinod was very desperate. We heard he very nicely described how everything had become completely degraded. Mayapur was practically unknown. Now people know about Mayapur all over the world. That is the mercy of Bhakti Vinod, mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and the mercy of our Prabhupada. The people all over the world. It's described, if you get a chance, we're internally indebted to our dear god brother Bhakti Vikas Maharaj for presenting this Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. Three volumes of nectar about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There you can understand a drop of the glories of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhakti Vinod was in great distress. All the philosophy of Mahaprabhu was practically lost, as we heard, it had just become degraded. People had no respect for Gaudiya Vaishnava. It's just an excuse to lead a sinful life and appear spiritual. So people had no intelligent person put an eye on Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. It was Bhakti Vinod Thakur who managed to understand the real mission of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And so he prayed for a ray of Vishnu to please kindly help him. He felt impossible, just like we were hearing the other day about Advaitacharya's appearance. He was saying, only you, even though I'm Mahavishnu, even only if you come, only Sri Krishna himself can come and save this situation. Bhakti Rao said, I'm incapable. And he prayed. At that time, he was the magistrate of Jagannath Puri and the temple administrator for Jagannath Temple, Sri. And it described how he managed to regularize, there were many inconsistencies and things were not being done properly, but he managed to regularize everything. He found out much corruption and routed it out. So that as a magistrate, he had a rented house right on the Grand Road. Anybody who's been to Puri, you've seen just down the way from Sri Mandir, at the Lion Gate, there's a beautiful Gaudiya Mat there. With a little sign, this is not an ISKCON temple. Because all our life members try to go and say, they see they're all wearing orange and they're chanting Hare Krishna, so it must be ISKCON temple. With a little sign. It was a very, very beautifully decorated place. And they managed to acquire that. And when they were digging out the area where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta actually appeared in this world, the ground began to smell like sandalwood. Chandan, fragrance of chandan began to emit from the ground as they were digging that spot. There's a beautiful temple there with Jagannath on one side and something money. What is the name of the deity? Krishna, Radha. I can't remember. Something money. And then Bhakti Siddhanta's murti is also there on the far right side. So Bhakti Vinod was living in that house. At that time it was just a rented house. And he was praying for this ray of Vishnu. And on this fifth day of the month of, dark half of the month of Magh, he got a hint that his prayers were answered, because when Bhakti Siddhanta arrived in this world, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body just like a Brahman thread. In fact, it's described that it left a permanent mark on his body. So Bhaktivinoda got some hint. Maybe this is that ray of Vishnu that I was praying for. And almost 5 months after that was Rath Yatra. And the first time I ever went to Rath Yatra, it took 2 days to get there. But somehow that particular year, that 5 months after Bhaktisiddhanta was born, the rut stopped right in front of Bhaktivinoda's house and refused to move for 3 days. He was there. And so Bhaktivinoda's wife, because she was the wife of the magistrate, she took advantage of her position. She climbed up on the cart. Bhaktivinoda told her to go. And she placed this child at Lord Jagannath's lotus feet, and immediately Jagannath, he'd been waiting there for his devotee for 3 days, his garland fell down and circled around Srila Bhakti Saran Saraswati Thakur. So then Bhaktivinoda got another hint. This is that ray of Vishnu. And we've heard gradually he began to grow, he was very beautiful, and we know of Bhaktivinoda, he had 10 children. We can't imagine anymore. Now we're crying. If I have two, how could I afford all 2 children? You know, we had those days. There was nothing. It's described. Even Bhakti, I was just reading that Bhaktisiddhanta was paying 50 rupees a month for Ultadingi Road. In those old days, it was called Ultadingi Road, and even that was hard to come up with. So they didn't have anything, but they could manage to raise 10 children. To see how upside down and crazy everything has become these days. So, and even at 4, he manifested so many incredible qualities. Because we know that Bhaktivinoda brought some nice mangoes. They just come in season. So he brought some mangoes from the market. Because Nectar Devotion says when something comes season, then we immediately offer it to the deities. So he brought some nice fresh mangoes. And Bhaktisiddhanta was only a little boy. His name was Bimala Prasad. Because we know there's one Devi in Jagannath Mandir. After the bhog is offered to the Lord, then it's not considered Mahaprasad till it's offered to Bimala Devi. So he was considered to be the Prasad of Bimala Devi. So Bimala Prasad. So immediately grab one of those mangoes, just like a little boy, 4 years old, you know. Children, you can see how it, what it's like to be totally controlled by the senses. Children, whatever they get, grab. Everything, and it goes in the mouth. Whatever a little kid gets, boom, in the mouth. So he immediately grabbed that mango and began to eat. And Bhaktivinoda said, "No, you have done a great offense. This was meant for the Lord. And you have taken before the Lord. This is a grave offense." 4 years old, he took a vow that throughout his life he would never eat mangoes again. For some time I lived in Miami. After I lived in Miami, I vowed I'll never live anywhere where there's no mangoes. So we can't imagine taking a vow not to eat a mango for the whole life. And even in his old age, it's described, Prabhupada has told us that the disciples used to try and offer him mango. He said, "No, I'm offender, I cannot take." At 7, he knew all 700 slokas of Bhagavad Gita. I've been in Krishna consciousness for more than 50 years. Even I don't know the whole 700 slokas. Seven, he knew all the slokas of Bhagavad Gita. So he was very, very intelligent. In the school, he was exceeded others. He has such an incredible mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav describes that even he has such a photographic memory, he could quote a passage from a work that he hadn't read for 50 years. He'd been able to recall such memory. And somehow he got into astrology. And this is where he got the title Siddhanta. Siddhanta Saraswati. Because he was so learned in the astrology, and he understood how great was our Vedic astrology. Because many people at that time, as Prabhuji was explaining, the British were very clever. They got the learned Indians to forsake their own things. So they were going for Western astrology. Bhaktisiddhanta, he showed that just like Prabhuji was discussing, that getting into this ossified, I don't know if you know this word, just like, you know, fossilized. whatever the Siddhanta ceremony said, that's it. But Siddhanta ceremony itself said every 100 years it has to be revised, because the planets and sun and moon and stars, they don't move according to exact things. Just like we know, even in Western world, that every once in a while we have to add an extra day. We have we call it a leap year. We have a leap month, but they have a leap year. Because according to their reckoning, it's 364 and a quarter days. So every 4 years, there's one extra day. So everything has to be corrected after a while. But they've been centuries, they were following. Everything was not proper. So naturally it appeared that Indian astrology was useless. But Bhaktisiddhanta showed by his translation of Siddhanta Ceremony the greatness of Indian astrology. In fact, he became so powerful that there was one, Bapudev Shastri, who was the greatest proponent of Western astrology. And they had some debate, and Bhaktisiddhanta smashed him so thoroughly that he passed stool and urine in his pants. And of course the university offered him a post, but he realized he didn't want to get involved in this. This wasn't his mission in life. And then he realized that if he became a big astrologer, then people wanted to get married and settle down. So he gave all this up. But his whole single-minded goal was unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And Bhaktivinoda encouraged him in every way and gave him full facilities to study. So he gave up, could have been a lucrative career in astrology or whatever, but he just gave everything up. Somehow he took some job with, I think it was the king of Tripura. And after the king of Tripura disappeared, his son put him in the secretariat where he tried to get rid of all the corruption. When he saw everything was just so corrupt, he said, forget it. I'm getting out of all this. And he imbibed from his father, Bhaktivinoda, the necessity to preach the real mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was furious, as we heard. He's so furious with the Mayavadis. We always hear Simaguru, but I know there's another word. What was that? Acharya Kesari, that was the actual word. Somehow in ISKCON it's become famous that he was Simaguru, but it was Acharya Kesari. He was a lion Acharya. It's such that sometimes he would accost some Mayavadi in the street and, you know, shake him, physically shake him and blast him, you know. So the Mayavadis, whenever they see Bhaktisiddhanta coming, they run across the other side of the street. One time, they invited him to a conference. And he accepted. So they said, you can't speak on Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. He still accepted. He said, you can't talk about the Puranas. You can't talk anything about the Puranas or the Upanishads. He still said, you can only talk about Vedanta. And they said, he still accepted the invitation. Then they canceled the whole assembly. Viruda Siddhanta. Viruda Siddhanta. That's against the Siddhanta. He was ready to smash this Mayavad philosophy, which, as Prabhuji explained so nicely, is an excuse not to surrender to Krishna. Because everybody thinks bhakti, that's for women and children. You know, as he said, they only just describe it as devotion, but it's pure devotional service is the real definition of bhakti. It is not so easy. Pure devotional service, especially service. Because nobody in this world, we see this whole world, everyone is trying to be the topmost man amongst all his fellow men. Or nowadays, the topmost woman amongst all her fellow persons. but we're the humble servant. Prabhupada is saying we need somebody again. We have to know we're the eternal servant. And we hear this word servant, we don't like that word. we want to be the master. We want to be served. And again, in this deep philosophy, we hear again this word servant. Servant. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta gives an example that she hired some tutor to train her child so that he was teaching him algebra. So he said, you take a triangle with points A, B, and C. And she came there with her umbrella to beat him. Why are you teaching that A, B, C? That's in the first grade. Why are you teaching this? I'm training you to teach you higher mathematics. Because this is higher mathematics. To serve Krishna is the highest mathematics. Because that is our eternal relation with Krishna, the eternal servant. And we know that after much research, Bhaktivinoda established this yoga peep. At that time, it was just jungle. Nobody went there. He had so much trouble trying to keep anybody to stay there. Now many devotees, we see in Mayapur, it's a huge city has come up. People want to go there and stay in this nice place. In those days, he sent Bhaktisiddhanta specifically to try to manage the place and bring up the standard. And then he also instructed him that you have to take initiation from Gorkhasur Das Babaji. Because Gorkhasur very much appreciated what Bhaktivinoda was doing. Even though he was a householder, he had 10 children, this renunciate completely, he's the Sakshat Vairagya Murti, he very much had much affection for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur because he saw that he was rescuing the pure philosophy of Lord Chaitanya from all these charlatans. So he told Bhaktisiddhanta that you must take initiation from Gorkhasur. So he went to him, although everybody was after him, every guru in Navadvipa and Calcutta and everywhere, they wanted this very learned fellow, this would be a big feather in my cap if I have him as my disciple, you know. Everybody wanted him. And here he sent him to some guy who couldn't even write his name. We can't imagine in the modern age. Can you imagine not being able to write your own name? He couldn't even write his name. He sent this guy who, you know, was so learned and so exalted in many, many ways. And he said, well, I don't know. If Mahaprabhu gives the order, I will. So then he asked him again sometime later. He said, Mahaprabhu isn't giving me the order. Then finally he met him on a bridge over the Ganga. And he said, so is Mahaprabhu giving the order? Not yet. And then he said, Kandiya, Kandiya, Pranana Rakibu Ara. Crying and crying, I will give up my life. And he climbed on top of the bridge ready to jump into the Ganga. Then Gorkhasur thought, this guy is sincere. So then he gave him a tiger skin cap and some pieces of cloth with knots in them to chant japa on. Very, very interesting. And Bhaktisiddhanta himself says, I was so shocked that I was considering whatever I considered great about myself, Gorkeshwar didn't even pay attention to. He had such a wealth that whatever I had, my morality, my learning, my erudition, was nothing in front of him. And his devotion was so deep that even though he couldn't write his own name, slokas from the Shastra would come off his mouth. He said, I knew, at that point I knew I was nothing before my Guru Maharaj. And Gorkeshwar, oh, he used to call him very affectionately, my Prabhu. It was very sweet. Can you imagine a guru calling you Prabhu? My Prabhu.
What was the initiated name?
I really don't know, actually.
Barsabhanavi Devi.
Oh, that's right. Barsabhanavi Devi Daitaya, who's got the mercy of the daughter of Vrishabhanu. So, and then shortly after initiation, he decided, although Bhaktivinoda was encouraging him to preach, he thought, first, let me chant 1 billion names. So he sat down in Mayapur and he chanted in a little tiny hut with the beautiful deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's there, if you go and see Mahaprabhu Gandharvika Giridhari there in Chaitanya Math, that is the Mahaprabhu deity that he sat in front of. When it rained, he just got an umbrella. It was leaking, the roof was leaking, just got an umbrella and continued chanting. And he stayed there chanting, only he left a couple of times. One, of course, was that great Sabha, what do you say?
Assembly,
where they were discussing Brahmano Vaishnava. Because, as we heard, Kasko Swamis are very, very against Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta for trying to make low-class people into Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And Bhaktivinoda was too ill at that time. He was having, in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, it says he'd be having a pastime of appearing to be very ill, so he couldn't go. But Bhaktisiddhanta wrote some little article, and he gave it to Bhaktivinoda, and Bhaktivinoda says, yes, you go. Lord Chaitanya has given you his mercy. So he went in that assembly, and devotees from this Shamananda, what was his name, Visvambarananda Dev Goswami, and Madhusudan Goswami from Radharaman Mandir, they were holding this festival. They were very happy that Bhaktisiddhanta came. When they finally gave him a chance to speak, he began to glorify the Brahmins and all the caste Brahmins. They also came because they knew this thing was going on. The police were also there because they expected something, trouble was going to happen. And then he began to glorify the Vaishnavas with verses coming out of his mouth like the flow of the Ganga. And all the Brahmins began to their blood began to boil. He was proving that the Vaishnavas were the only real Brahmin is who's one who's a Vaishnava, who's a servant of Krishna. And all the caste Goswamis, they all ran away. And the people all were yelling, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And they all rushed forward, and the police, they had to control the situation. So although Bhaktisiddhanta never let anybody touch his feet, the police, they grabbed him, stuck his feet in a bucket of water, and filled another 5 or 10 buckets of water and began throwing it all over the crowd. And then we heard about the time the Maharaj of Kashim Bazar invited him. One little detail was there that the Kasko Goswami, we heard how they gave him only 5 minutes, even they cut him off. And then they told the Maharaj, he's not eating your food because you're from a low caste. There's one little detail that's missing that they told him. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, because I can't do anything for your benefit, so how can I take maintenance from you? I've come here for your benefit, and nobody's giving you a chance to speak anything, Harikata, for your benefit. So what is the use of eating this? And besides, your pujari, he doesn't know the truth. He doesn't have, as Prabhupada said, it's a mandagan. He doesn't know who is Krishna. So this is not prasad. I can't eat it. He walked, he took the train, he went all the way back. He had to walk about 5 miles to his place in Mayapur. And then he reached by morning time. All night he was on train. And he reached in the morning time. He cooked himself and then he ate and broke his fast for 4 days. It's the only 2 times he left during his 1 billion name, Japa. yajna. And so many wonderful pastimes are there. We know that his father was very, very dear to him. And in 1918, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world, and Bhaktisiddhanta was just shattered. His father had always affectionately encouraged him to continue his work, and he would translate works and show them to Bhaktivinoda and get advice from Bhaktivinoda. So now he was gone. Then later that same year, then Gorkhasur Das Babaji left this world. And they so there was a big clamor, because all the big mahants, they could give samadhi for Gorkhasur, they could get a lot of money, because everybody knew Gorkhasur. Most of them were charlatans. Bhakti Bhai Bhav explains how one fellow came, and first he was very dear to Srila, very attached to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, but then he saw he was managing the yogapit and engaged in so many seemingly mundane activities. We don't understand Yukta Vairagya. So he criticized him and left, and went to took shelter of Gorkhasur, and then he became the sort of in control, and lorded over everybody else. And Bhaktisiddhanta would come, he wouldn't let him come, and he was getting lots of boga and so many offerings. He was taking all those things, not giving. Gorkhasur didn't need all this heavy stuff, rich food. So that fellow Mitra, he was eating all this rich food naturally, and we know that makes you very agitated. So he was doing all sorts of illicit activities and on the sly. And finally Bhaktisiddhanta exposed him, and Gorkhasur chastised him and said, go get yourself married and live an honest life doing a job. And he left and took a job like that. So everybody knew Gorkhasur. Everybody wanted to have the samadhi, because they knew people will come and give donations. Somehow they alerted Bhaktisiddhanta, who was on the other side of the river. So Bhaktisiddhanta came there. And everybody said, he's not a... Gorkhasur was a renunciate. How can he give samadhi to someone who's a renunciate? He's not a renunciate himself. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, I am the only disciple of my Guru Maharaj. Even though I'm not a renunciate, I have kept my vows perfectly by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, and not like some other simian. Simian means monkey-like people. He said, nobody, if someone is here, only if someone who's pure in his vows can touch the body of my Guru Maharaj, otherwise he'll be destroyed. And the police chief, he's also come because he knew there's going to be trouble. And he said, well, how will we know? And he said, I will take their word. If somebody has not had illicit sex within the last month, first he said 1 year, within 6 months, within 3 months, within 1 month, within the last 3 days, they can touch my Guru Maharaj's body. And everybody was astonished. All these big Babajis turned their backs and walked away. Then somebody said, oh, your Guru Maharaj said that when he dies, you drag him through the streets. And Bhaktisiddhanta said that just to smash the false ego of materialistic people, he said these incredibly humble things. But even though I am an inexperienced and a fool, I have seen how Mahaprabhu carried Haridas Thakur, the Supreme Lord himself, carried Haridas Thakur's body on his lap. I will never do such a thing to my Guru Maharaj. Rather, with great joy, I will carry his body on my head. So then he established Samadhi. We know later somehow or other the Ganga changed her course, so they had to move that Samadhi. It's there at Chaitanya Math in Mayapur now. So, and this was total devastation. Now his father died, his well-wishing guru Gorkhasur has died. He said, who am I supposed to show my works to? Who will encourage me? He completely gave up everything. Until one day, by chance, some piece of paper with a Chaitanya Charitamrita verse talking about spreading the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Then he took, this is a hint. That night in a dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, all the Goswamis, his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they all appeared to him in a dream and told him, you just go and preach, don't worry about anything. He was thinking, I don't have any money, I don't have any backing, what will I do? How will I do all this? I have no one, those who encourage me are not here. He said, you don't worry about anything, you just go and preach, we will send you everything. So then all of a sudden the disciples hadn't seen him for days, and he suddenly appeared as fulgent as anything, and he began to preach. Bhakti Siddhanta just has this ocean of stories we could tell. We know that he finally established Bhagavat Yantra. We know this word Yantra, no? Yantra Rudrani Maya. So Yantra means machine. So this Bhagavat machine, the God's machine, a printing press, in a rented place, but the rent lease expired. He had to move it to Mayapur. Then he looked for another place, and he got this place. And those days it was called Uttadingi Junction Road. And he moved his whole operation there because Gorgashore told him that you don't ever go to Calcutta. That is the place of Maya. He said, don't ever take disciples. I was third one, it's slipping my mind right now. But he said, wherever Krishna Katha is going on, that is Vrindavan. So I'm not in Calcutta. This is Vrindavan. Where Vaishnava is, that is Vrindavan. And I'm taking all these disciples, but I take that they're my gurus. By seeing their enthusiasm to perform devotional service, I'm getting encouraged. So I'm not taking disciples, I'm getting many, many gurus. So he got this place on Uttadingi Road, and now somehow or other we managed to get that place. And if you see it, they have remodeled it. Unfortunately, the things were falling apart. That very roof where Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was unsafe and crumbling. But what they did was they crumbled it. And they took the same materials and mixed it again with new materials without all this iron rebar and all this. Just the same old ancient way they did things back then. They remodeled, they rebuilt that roof, they remodeled the whole place, exactly all the furnishings, exactly that time, place, time and place. Everything is, it's just immaculate. It's the most wonderful place. And he called that Bhakti Binod Asan. And then we know that our Prabhupada's friends brought him there. He said, I don't want to go. All these guys are bogus. My father used to feed so many of these guys, just smoking bidi and doing so many. I don't want to go see any sadhu. He said, no, this one's different. This one's different. They dragged him there. The first thing Bhaktisiddhanta told him, you are an intelligent boy, you know English, you speak in the English language and preach the message of Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada, he was a nationalist, and he said, no, we are a ruled country. Who will listen to such a dominated country? And Bhaktisiddhanta said, the message of Mahaprabhu can't wait for this political change or that political change. It doesn't depend on these things. It is the most important thing in life. And he was defeated, and Prabhupada had never been defeated in his life. And there was some more discussion, and then his friend said, what do you think? He said, Mahaprabhu's message is in very good hands. Later he changed his mission name to Gaudiya Math, and then just nearby, at the time, many historical things happened in this place, Uttadingi Road. Because if you know anything about the freedom struggle, there was one famous character named Subhash Chandra Bose. So he came because he'd heard Bhaktisiddhanta has all these young men, and he wanted young men to help him, make his Indian National Army to fight against the British. So he came to Bhaktisiddhanta and said, you have so many young men, I have taken this mission to free our India. Do you please give me some of your men? And Bhaktisiddhanta said, you believe in reincarnation? He said, of course, what Hindu doesn't believe in reincarnation? He says, so now you're fighting to throw off the English rule. And you're so much meditating on the English. What if next lifetime you take birth in England? Then will you want to free India, or you want to subjugate her? Nobody had ever said anything like that to him. He said, my mission is to save anyone, no matter, you know, Indian, British, American, whatever, Christian, whoever they are. Every living entity in this universe, I want to liberate from the cycle of birth and death. That is my mission. So you don't bother these boys. He was so impressed. It's not in any of the books, not even Bhaktisiddhanta Bhai Bhava. We went to the Bhaktivedanta Research Institute, and they're translating all of these nice Sajjana Tosinis and Nadia Prakash, huh?
Gaudiya.
There we found out that on the day they shifted to the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, Subhash Chandra Bose was the only person who stayed for the whole day. He stayed for the whole, he was so impressed with Bhaktisiddhanta, although he told him, he said, look, I'm up to my neck now in this movement, I can't help you. He was so appreciative, he stayed for the whole day when they opened that Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, which is just nearby. You can also visit, they have a beautiful Chaitanya Museum. So I don't know how late it's going on. We don't have breakfast today, so we took advantage to speak something about the glories. What time is it?
Quarter to ten.
So I guess I better stop squawking here. But actually, I started out by saying that it is unfit that a person, a degraded person as myself, speaks to you about the glories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But this is his glory, that a person such as myself is able to tell you all these things. Because he made it that anybody, any part of the world, become a Vaishnava and save the world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki! Oh, then one very important, especially for us ISKCON devotees, one time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, because he revived Navadvipa Mandal Prakrama and Braj Mandal Prakrama, both of them been neglected. And Bhaktisiddhanta was, you know, Bhaktivinoda had encouraged him to revive this Navadvipa Mandal Prakrama and this Braj Mandal Prakrama. So one time he was camped at Radhakund, and Prabhupada was in ignorance of business, so he came there with his little son. We see the picture in the room there. And you can go to that place, because Bhaktivinoda built a house called Braj's, his house in Godroom. We know Bhaktivinoda's house was Swananda Sukhada Kunj. And his house in Godroom was, or house in Radhakund was Braja Swananda Sukhada Kunj. And you can see they left that room just like it was. This little rope bed there where that you see in the picture, that's still there. Everything is still there. And Prabhupada met him there. And then they were walking on the Sangam where Radhakund and Shyamakund joined. And Bhaktisiddhanta told him, Ag Jalbi, there will be fire. Because he was upset. Now they got this nice Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. Everybody's fighting. I want this room. No, that's for me. I'm more important than you. This is my room. No, that's my room. No, this is my... He said, better we break the temple, sell all the marble and print books. And he looked Prabhupada in the eye and he said, if you ever get money, print books. So this book distribution was born in Radhakund. This is the... If you want Radhabhav, this is the Radhabhav. Radharani is always trying to make arrangements for others to meet with Krishna, for our philosophy is to meet Radha with Krishna, but Radharani's bhav is to get others to meet Krishna so he can enjoy like anything. So this going out and distributing books, this is the real Radha bhav. And this was born at the Sangam in Radhakund by the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Any else? And now we have a wonderful opportunity that's in our hands. Just before we left on this trip, my dear friend Arjun was in Calcutta, and a nice devotee, he's vice president of Calcutta Temple. And he was the one who got that Ultanigi Road and Junction Road and remodeled it and everything. And he managed to get a little tiny piece of land where that jackfruit tree is, where Prabhupada had gone, his mother had gone to her family home to give birth to Prabhupada. So that tiny piece where Prabhupada took birth under that jackfruit tree has been gotten by him. And then when he got that place, One other god brother of mine named Sankarshan, who happens to be Prabhupada's nephew, he brought this letter that was written in 1977. Prabhupada had Bhakti Charu write it in Bengali. And nobody knew about this letter. It was written in Bengali. Because Prabhupada was very weak, he couldn't write. So he had Bhakti Charu Maharaj write it. And then first Prabhupada signed it. He said, get that land where that jackfruit tree is, and you built a fitting memorial there, and treat this as urgent. So when he got that tiny piece of land, then he showed this letter. So then he decided, I have to get, you know, because this is a tiny piece, how can we build a nice memorial for Prabhupada? I've been to, if you go to Udupi, you see Madhavacharya's place, huge, wonderful place, garden, everything is there. And this is Prabhupada who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We owe all our lives to him. So this place is slum area, but all the developers, you see in the film, if you go in Dandavas, you can see this article there. You can see in the film how big high-rises are coming up. And it's just next to Taliganj, where all the movie stars live. So this is going to be a posh area. So all the developers are trying to get that slum also. We're in fighting with them. So on this special day, if anybody feels inspired, because Prabhuji made this nice video, this now it's there on Dandavats, and we just managed to get another piece next door. He wants to get 1.5 acres of land so we can build a nice memorial for Srila Prabhupada. So if you feel inspired on this day, you can go there and see that article and find out all the information, how you can send money there and make a nice donation to build a beautiful memorial for Srila Prabhupada on his birthplace, on this holy day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyasa Puja. Hare Krishna.